Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is a prophetic word by the prophet Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus came. Arise, shine, arise, shine. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. This is prophetically talking about Jesus himself, but if you are in Christ, it's prophetically talking about you as well. For what has been given to him has been given to you. And I'm going to show this to you in this message today. Arise, shine. Here's the mandate. God gave Jesus a mandate. You see, Jesus was still Jesus when he was 12, when he was 13, when he was 16, when he was 20, when he was 25. He was very much the same Jesus. And he never did a miracle. Not one miracle. Not one healing. And he was still very much the Son of God, but he never did a miracle. There was an event took place in his life, and he went to the River Jordan to be baptized of John, and John baptized him. And when Jesus came out of that river, the heavens opened. The Bible says the heavens opened over him, and the Spirit of God descended like as a presence of a dove and lighted upon him, and it remained upon him. And there was a voice out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Isn't that wonderful? The very first temptation was, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, and did not he just hear the voice that said, "This is my beloved Son"? So when you get born again, the very first thing the devil's going to do, same thing he did to Jesus. For you step into any kind of power or authority in the kingdom of God, you've got to know you're a son. You've got to know that you are a son of the living God. And the Holy Spirit has been given to you to do something. He didn't come just for you to be a happy Christian, which I thank God I am a happy Christian. And there's nothing wrong with being a happy Christian. But he didn't call Jesus to be Jesus, the Son of God, and just make him a happy Jesus for his whole life. It wasn't given to him just for him. He was sent to do a job. He was sent to represent God Almighty, the Father. And he represented him as a son, not as a servant, as a son. He understood what it was to be a son. I know I have to establish in my life before I can do anything for God. I have to know who I am. I have to know I am a son of the living God. And I have been given the Spirit of the living God, whereby in my spirit I cry, Abba, Father. God is my Father. I am his very own son. I'm his very own. You know, in the spirit world, there is no male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So yes, I'm a daughter, but I'm also a son. So I know that I have been given sonship. I have sonship. And you have to establish sonship, because the enemy will tempt you and say, look what you did. Look what you've done. If you're born again, you're a son. So this prophetic word here is a word for us. Arise and shine. The light, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, I take that. I'm saying, yes, sir. I hear that in the spirit. I believe that's the mandate of the church, the end time church. Rise up and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's just time to rise and shine. The light is already come. I have light in me. You got light in you. Some of us have more light than others. Light means light represents revelation knowledge. The ability to do what you know to do. The ability is already in you. Everything you'll ever need from God to do what he has asked you to do is already resident within you. That's a truth. That's just a truth. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatsoever things I have commanded you. This is about a relationship with Jesus. Now, you're not going to be sent out to do anything for Jesus if you don't know him. And he's definitely not going to send you out to do all of this unless you're prepared to do it. He'd be an unfaithful God to send you out to do anything without preparing you to do it. So he's very, very, very involved in your life preparing you to do this. So the next verse, let's go down to Matthew 5. Jesus said this, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. This is me? I'm a light of the world? I thought, Jesus, you're the light of the world. Jesus, you're the light of the world, right? What are you saying, Jesus? I'm the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Do you have a light to shine? If you've got any revelation, you do. Do you have a light to shine? Because Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Amen. Let your light so shine before people or men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this has been the most misunderstood part, I believe, of this verse. See your good works. Let me tell you, people that serve the devil do good works. People that are in total darkness do good works. This is not what that's talking about, being a good person. This is talking about working the works that Jesus worked. Working the works that Jesus worked is good works. There is, you're called and assigned to do, and everybody has an assignment. Just like Jesus had an assignment, you've got an assignment. Jesus is talking about here, it's time to let your light shine. Rise up, let your light shine, and let the glory of the Lord rise upon you. Because he's living in you, and he's called you to do something just like he was called to the Father. There's coming a day when you're going to stand before God and give an account of what you've done with what you have been given. And that's a fact. I know that. I'm positive of that. And that's why I have to say, what I've been commanded, I have to command. What I've been told, what the burden of the Lord is upon me is that my light shine. And I'm talking, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, preach the word. I haven't raised anybody from the dead. I tried one time. I really, truly tried one time. A guy fell dead in a service I was in. And I was a very baby Christian, and they come back to me and say, here's your chance, Teresa. I was always talking about raising the dead. So I thought, well, if you don't try, you ain't never going to know. I ain't run into dead people very often, so he's dead and he's freshly dead. So I thought, here's my chance, you know. He's not been embalmed or nothing, so let's just try it here. Of course, he didn't come back because, I mean, I was just trying. There's a difference in knowing what you're supposed to do and doing it and trying to do it. But John 8:12, he says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light, light of life. So here's another clue to the kind of light you have in you. You've got a light called life. And that life that's in you is called eternal life, Zoe. It's God's very nature is inside you. The very nature of God is living in you. And it's called the light of life. Woo, glory to God. That is just such exciting things to me to understand. There is something called the light of life. Anywhere you go, something's supposed to change when you walk into a room. Anytime you go somewhere, that anointing, that call, that empowerment, that glory that rests in your life like it did in Jesus. Anywhere Jesus went, the room lit up. Any place he went, it lit up. When there was a need, it was met. The good works of God. The good works of God just started manifesting. Miracles started popping. People started coming. People started receiving healings. I believe just in mass meetings, I just believe they all just got healed. Many were healed. Many were healed. Many, many, just being in his presence, they were healed. The glory was so strong on Jesus. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Well, I can believe that. I don't have a hard time believing that at all. But the hard thing I have is, he said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And he said, let your good works so shine before men that they will glorify God. It's not about making you a name. It's not about having any special presence with people and impressing people. That's why people, dark world does good works so they can get an impression on others. They can get a name for themselves. Look what I've done. Look at me. I've done this and I've done that, and look at what I've built and look what I've performed. And they got a notoriety for their good works. See, the world's definition of good works is not the same as the body of Christ's good work, God's definition of good works. So John 8, verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. Now, to be a follower of Jesus was a very sacrificial way of life for these people. They had to give up everything. They had to give up everything. I had to give up everything for Jesus. And I'm not talking about just to be a pastor. I'm talking about when I came to Jesus, when I was 22 years old, the question came to me. The Holy Spirit came to me. And the scripture came to me that made me start thinking in this line. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, sometimes it comes down to the stuff. Standard life that says, I will do whatever Jesus said. I'm going to follow Jesus. Whoever follows him will have the light of life. And the light of life is so huge. He puts a spotlight on life. Eternity becomes real to you. Eternity becomes present to you. It's not something in the future any longer. You're living in it now. I'm living in the kingdom of God right now. I'm not planning on going to heaven. I'm in heaven right now, as far as I'm concerned. I'm calling those things that are not as though they are, because they already are in heaven. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe, you receive it, and you shall have it. Why can I have it? Because I've already got it in heaven. There is no good thing. He said, I withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before me. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I'll hear and I'll help you. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. I have a present God. He lights upon me. He's lit upon me. The glory of the Lord has risen upon me. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. And when you have the light, you can't help but shine it. You can't help but expose it. It wants to come out of you. You want to share the light to people. And it's not about being a nice, sweet, good little person, which I like being a nice, sweet, little good person. I don't like being a mean person, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What's the glory of the Lord? If there's a need, you meet it. If there's a problem, you pray about it, you get the answer to it. If there's a situation, you're there to help in a miraculous way. Jesus ever spoke to a cancer, ever spoke to a sickness, ever spoke to a disease, and wondered and wondered and sweated it out. I wonder if that'll get healed. I wonder if this is going to happen. He had no doubts it was going to happen, because he walked in authority and he walked in power. There's two different things. Authority and power are two different things. John 8, 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That means that I don't care how weird a situation comes your way. I don't care what kind of circumstance you find yourself in. Even though you might be walking through the valley of the shadow of the death, the Lord is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He's with you no matter where you go. I'll be with you wherever soever you go. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I just want to shout that sometimes. And I've determined in my heart that the light of the Lord is going to shine. And I'm not going to put a bushel over the light. You don't put a bushel over a candlestick. If you are called to be a light, then you're going to shine. I want to shine. It's a privilege to shine for God. And people think you're nuts. Oh, yeah, they do. But I don't care. I don't care what people say about you. Who's taking you to heaven? Who died for you? They didn't. This is time to get past the fear of man. Because the fear of a man, the Bible says, is a snare. And the devil uses that to keep us controlled. You'll never step out as long as you're afraid of people. You'll never step out. You'll never do what God has called you to do. Arise and shine. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Okay. Excuse me if I'm getting a little excited here. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Now we think about there being a blinder on people. Do you know what the blinder is? Not believing. They don't believe. That's the blinder. They just don't believe. You could preach all day to them. They just don't believe. So you need to pray for your loved ones, your family. We take authority over that ruling spirit that's put a blinder over their mind, their spirit, from believing the word of God. We take authority over any hurt, past hurt, that has hindered them from, they've prayed a prayer that didn't get answered. Somebody didn't get healed that they should have been healed. Something didn't happen that should have happened. That's a believing not experience. They got unbelief going on in their life. We need to pull that down. That's a stronghold. We need to cast down that imagination. We need to pray for them that they will want to believe God. Give them grace to believe. I start praying this way for people. Lord, please give them grace. Give them grace to believe your word. Give them the grace to believe a testimony. Send somebody into their path that they will believe. Because the believing part is their part. And the devil can't stop them from believing. If they hear the word, he can't stop them from believing. He can only put a blinder on them to keep them from hearing the word. He keeps them from Christians. He isolates them and keeps them in darkness. Keeps them busy on their job. Keeps them focused on money. Keeps them focused on this and focused on that and busy, busy, busy. You ever notice how busy the world is? Who takes time to pray? Even Christians have a hard time taking time to pray. So the world is all wrapped up in the things of the world. And anything to keep them from believing. Oh, the devil is terrified of you. I'm telling you, you get out and start talking to people about Jesus and start pulling down strongholds in people's lives. He is terrified of you because you have light in you that he knows will bring light to them if they see it and they believe it. That's the truth. You carry something precious. You carry something powerful. And you are a light. You're a light. Glory. And I tell you something, when somebody is in darkness and they get healed, or if they have a miracle in their life, it makes them believe me. Mm-hmm. They say, oh yeah, we know this is real. I can feel this. I experienced this. I want to go back up and I missed something I wanted to share. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now that's a fact. The Pharisee therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of yourself. You're just going around talking about yourself all the time. I've had people come in here and say, all you do is talk about yourself. I'm really not talking about me. I'm talking about what God has given me. Then Jesus said, Though I bear record of myself, I talk about myself and who I am and what I'm doing, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. Every believer needs to know who they're from. Everybody needs to know they're a son of God. Every believer better know this. You better know where you came from. You better know where you got your light. You better know where you got your revelations. You better know where the word is and who the word is. You better know where you came from. I know where I came from. But I also know where I'm going. Jesus knew where he was going. Back to the Father. I'm going back to the Father. You think of it this way. Here's a house. Here's a two-story house. Here's a two-story house. You got an upstairs to the house and a downstairs to the house, right? Two-story house. Mm-hmm. If you've walked in the front door and you're on the first floor and you go upstairs, you're still in the house, right? You go downstairs, you're still in the house. When you're in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter if you're on earth or in heaven, you're still in the house. And you're in Father's house on top of that. And everything that he has is yours. You want something out of the refrigerator? Just go get it, honey. You don't have to beg and cry and plead and squall and bawl and talk him into letting you go get it. You just go get it. Everything he says is yours. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And then before he left, he prayed, Father, make them one as we are one. I in them and you in me. So you've been given the Holy Spirit to bring these revelations and make them real to you. You're not an orphan any longer. You're not an orphan. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel like an orphan. You're not an orphan. You have access to the very throne of God because of the blood of Jesus. For eternity, that blood is crying out mercy. That blood is very much the same as it was when he shed it. You think it's been dried up and blown away 2,000 years ago? He took his blood into the very throne room of God and he placed it there at the laver before the throne of God, the mercy seat. And it's been presented before God for eternity for every human being that will ever come before him. It cries mercy. Abel's blood cried judgment. Jesus' blood cries mercy. You can come boldly now to the throne of grace to receive. He did it so you could be blessed. He did it so you could be healed. He did everything he did so you would never have to do without a thing. No more torment of the devil. No more fear. No more depression. No more anything of the devil. You're not in darkness anymore. If you follow Jesus, you will have the light of life, which means eternity. The light and nature of God is eternal life. That's God's kind of life. Because God never dies. Jesus had never died. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. You've got eternal life abiding in you. We just haven't really understood it all. We haven't studied into the depth of it all. It's deeper than any ocean you'll ever get into. It's higher than any spaceship you'll ever fly to. The depths and the wisdom of God, oh, how unsearchable it is. And he's bringing a revelation to the body. And I'm amazed sometimes. I'm amazed sometimes. Me? You know, he takes the base things to confound the wise. You know that? I'm privileged. I'm privileged to know what I know. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about knowing the perfect one. Being filled with his presence. Being filled with his glory. And the revelation of his world. His world is a bigger world than my world. So he says, glory to God. So I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. You know, what's really, really a problem, I believe, is nothing but proving what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. They've never really stepped out of the boat like Peter did and proved. If it's you, Lord, call me to step out of the boat. If it's you, come, Peter. Peter jumped out of that big old boat onto the raging sea and got his eyes on Jesus and he walked on water because he had faith in who he was. Not that he could walk on water, but he had his eyes on Jesus. You see, if you know Jesus, you know truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know truth, the light of life. Literally, the light becomes real to you. The more you experience it, the more you understand it. But I think a lot of us are just too timid, too afraid, too worried, too nervous, too shaky, and too jerky to get out of the boat and experience the glory and let the light shine in their hearts. They're too worried about what people are going to think, too worried about what people are going to say. Wendy's, I'll never forget this as long as I live, and there's people just standing around like statues. And this girl is back here screaming at the top of her lungs, just screaming like somebody was chopping her leg off. And I knew it was coming from the back in the kitchen area, and I just ran back there. I didn't even have to think about it, didn't have to talk about it, didn't have to ask anybody permission. I just ran back there, and here's a little girl on her knees, doubled up like this, screaming at the top of her lungs. And I started praying in tongues. I got on my knees with her, I started putting my hands on her. Now they're probably thinking, what is now going on? They're back there screaming and praying in tongues out loud. And I'm praying. And she's screaming, and I'm praying. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this pain. And you know, she got healed, calmed right down. Ambulance was on its way, thank God. But these people don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with something like that. Urine should become so comfortable with us. We should become so comfortable with who we are and who Jesus is living in us, the Holy Spirit living in us. And he says, this is what Jesus said. This is really captures my attention. When he said, okay, though I bear record of myself, yes, I do talk about myself and talk about the things of God and what I'm doing and who I am. I'm the light of the world. What if I walked around saying, I'm the light of the world? You're really talking about yourself then. Yeah, you really think you're something. Well, Jesus said that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the door to the sheep. I knew Abraham before he was. I knew Abraham. Now, that's some boldness there. So just think about how Jesus interacted with folk for 3.5 years after the Holy Spirit came upon him. Just imagine that. And now Jesus is saying, you're the light of the world. About their judgment. You think Jesus was nervous and shaky and jerky about people talking about him? They hated him. And one time in his own hometown, they took him to the edge of the brow of the city and was going to throw him off a cliff. And another time, remember when they stoned Stephen? They got so mad at Stephen, they gnashed on him with their teeth. Mm-hmm. People get angry when you start messing with their religious comfortableness. True. He shook up the religious leaders of his day. And there's a lot of Christians who don't like what I'm saying either. Make people very uncomfortable. I've sat in circles with pastors. And it's like, I like your backpack projects, but can we get somebody healed, please? Something to show the glory. And I think there's nothing wrong with feeding the sick and feeding the poor and backpacks and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, that's not Christianity. That's not real. I mean, sinners can do all that stuff. Worldly people don't even know God can do all that stuff. And he says, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone. If you feel the Holy Ghost, you know you're not alone. There's somebody with you. He's on board. You're not alone anymore in this world. Sometimes I feel lonely, but lonely is an emotion. Lonely is just an emotion. It's not based on faith at all. You can go ahead and be your lonely self if you want to, but I don't want to be lonely anymore because I got the greater one in me. Amen. And who can be lonely when you've got access to the throne of God? Amen. And all the angels are at your disposal. Amazing life. And you know God's getting ready to send somebody into your life to help any day now, any minute, maybe next week, maybe today. Mm-hmm. How can you be lonely with all that going on? He wants to use you. He'll put you out there. But if you're lonely, you say, Lord, I'm too lonely. I need some busy. I need to get busy for you. Believe me, he'll put you out there. He'll give you a plow. He'll give you a field. He'll say, okay, go for it. There's your field. Go work it. It's written in the law. And he was kind of saying this, I think, kind of facetiously. He was saying, okay, it's your law. You're the one who is responsible for giving out the law to the people. They were the Pharisees, the lawgivers. And it's written in your law, this is the word, that the testimony of two men is true. Two men is true. The testimony of two men is true. And he says, I'm one that bears witness of myself. And the Father that sent me, he beareth witness of me. What you have in God is so huge. Behold, verse Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means you better get some wisdom, buddy. You better realize you got people around you who are wolves. There is a devil out there. And he came to steal, to kill, and destroy you. And he has a plan. I'll guarantee you, God's got a plan, the devil's got a plan. To be wise. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no changing. He never changes. He's just such a good God. Do you know he withholds no good thing from those that walk uprightly before him? Ever. I just know when I go to him and ask for something, I've got the yes before I ask. But he wants me to ask. He never says no. You know why he never says no to me? Because I never ask for something he's going to say no to. Powerful thing. That's a very powerful thing. When you only ask that things that you know he's already said yes to before you ask, you always get a yes. I knew when we prayed yesterday that it was a definite yes. They're not going to New York. Mm-hmm. And we bound it from happening. He said, wherever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. If it's already a no in heaven, it'll be a no here. No, they're not going to New York. No, they're not going to New York. And they didn't go to New York. That's authority. That's authority. And that's not something to be proud of. I mean, I'm thankful that I know that I have authority. He said that, didn't he? Am I doing anything that he, am I doing one single thing that he didn't tell me to do? If my witness is of myself, then I've got something to glory of. But he said, if God told me this, he's the one you talk to about it. He's the one who witnesses it's true. I'll tell you something else I learned. If you don't have anybody to agree with, he says, anything any two of you shall touch on earth that they shall agree upon, it shall be done by your Father which is in heaven, in his name. If there's nobody to handy to grab to agree with you, then let the Holy Ghost agree with you. He's a person. Any two of you, he's there, I'm here, let's agree. And if he can get the Holy Ghost to agree, you're going to get it. It's going to happen. See, he's preparing a people to walk in some light and good works, like Jesus did. Do you know Jesus did good works? The Bible says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, being oppressed of the devil is one of the most horrible things, because he is an oppressor. That's one of his names. He's an oppressor. You know what oppressing means? It means put you under pressure, oppresses you, keep you confined. I was under oppression. I was under depression. I know what it is to spend every holiday in a dark room with the blinds shut. I sat on family events. I know what that's like to be depressed and oppressed. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's worse than having a stomach ache. It's worse than having the flu. It's worse than having a broken arm, because you've got a broken being. Something else is broken. Your soul is broken. But the Lord says he restores your soul. He is the restorer of the soul. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And they'll bring you before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And then he says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's why we're lights of the world. That's how we can be a light, because he's in us. The Holy Spirit is how the Father speaks. Never spoke anything but what the Father spoke. You learn that you better not speak anything but what the Father would speak either. You don't think anything but what the Father would have you think. You don't say anything but what you would have the Father think. And that is not that's not something you do just because you want to. This is something you develop in yourself, your being. You yield your life to him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You present your body. He wants your body. You know why he wants your body? Because the devil wants your body. Why does the devil want your body? Did you ever think about why does the devil want your body so much? Because he's a disembodied spirit, and he's so jealous of your body. He is envious of your body. He wants to use your body. He doesn't have a body to use. He needs a body. He's walking around craving a body. If I just had a body, I could express myself. If I just had a body, I could talk. If I just had a body, I could cause some trouble. I'm so full of anger, and I'm full still of jealousy, and I'm full of rage. I just want to find somebody I can express this in. That's what he's going around thinking all the time. Looking for a body that he can use. God says, you give me your body. You let me shine through your body. You let the glory shine through you. The glory of God wants to express himself through you. God doesn't need your body except for to help other people. Heaven will go on just fine being heaven without me. In fact, my very worst day, God showed me a long time ago. He said, I'm sitting on a very secure throne. I'm not an insecure God. If you cuss or scream or flip out or have a fit, it's not moving me off my throne. Heaven is going to go right on being heaven no matter what you do, Teresa. Because I used to think, oh, God's going to get me. No, he's not going to get me. He's not an insecure God. He's not like us. You know, when my kids did something wrong, I just want to smack them down. No, God's not like that. God is a very kind, caring, loving Father. Your troubles are, most of our troubles, 90% of them, we cause them ourselves. You think about the world system. You think about the Babylonian world system, the money system. You think about the trade system. You think about the world system and how it works. It's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world. But he says, don't be conformed to that. Don't, in other words, don't think like they think. But be transformed. Transformed. How do you get transformed? It means you get changed. You get changed only one way. There's only one way to get changed. And this is the way you do it. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. If you have ever been delivered of something, you have proved that you can be delivered of that thing. If you've ever been healed of something like I have, you've already proved you can be healed of that. I'm talking without medical science. I've already proved I can be healed of that. I've been proved. I'm about to stand. I got the notch on my belt to prove that. I've proved that. If you go through depression and you haven't proved yet what is the good and perfect will of God on depression, you need to prove it. It's not God's will for you to be depressed. Then get a notch on your belt that says, I've proved that one. I've got that under my belt. I've got that one down. And then I'll tell you what it does. It makes you want to, when you see somebody depressed, you want to just grab them and claim the healing in the name of Jesus. You want to cast that demon out. If you see somebody sick, it's got the same kind of thing. I had chronic sinus infection. Chronic, every single week of suffering. And one day, 2004, 2003, I got total victory over that. I got victory. No, you think God did it? No, I claimed my healing. See, this is the thing. People are always trying to get God to heal them. God has already healed you, brothers and sisters. You are already healed in the mind of God. Healing has already been provided. You've got the money in the bank. All you got to do is go get it out and write the check. It's yours already. He's not going to come down and heal you again. He's not going to take the stripes again. He's not going to be beaten again. He's not going to have to pay that price again. He already paid for your healing once and for all. It's already signed and delivered in the bank with your name on it because he gave you the name, and it's the name of Jesus. You take that name to the bank and you make a withdrawal with that name. That account recognizes that name. And I had to come in to understand that I'm supposed to be dealing with this. And I got angry. Sometimes we don't get angry enough. Sometimes we don't get determined enough. I'm going to put my foot down here and I'm not going to suffer. I made a decree. See, I've learned to step into something called decrees. Decrees are very powerful. I made a decree in my heart and I said, I am not going to suffer another day with a sinus infection. And I spoke that out into the atmosphere and I said, I make this decree in heaven. I make this decree in earth. And I make this decree in hell. So that means that every single being in heaven heard that decree, heard my voice, heard my words. Every single spirit in the earth heard those words. Every single demon in hell heard those words. And I wanted them to hear it. I wanted them to hear it. If you're afraid of making a decree that you're healed, then something is wrong with your faith. Because you need to not be afraid that heaven will hear you, earth will hear you, and anybody here around you. You need to stop being afraid of what people are going to say or think. And you decree, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And y'all can think I'm not healed, but I'm healed. I've never had another sinus attack, not one single time since. That's a miracle. But that's not just a miracle. That's me proving the good and perfect acceptable will of God. It's the will of God for me to be healed 100% of the time. It's not God's fault if I'm not healed. You can never stand before the throne and portals of God and say, God, I'm not healed because it's your fault. He's already provided everything he can to provide healing. He's already done everything he can provide anything you need. He said, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. We just don't know how to write a check. We just don't know how to make demands on that. It's a different world than this. But don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get into that world. Start thinking like Jesus thought. Start having the light that was in him shine out of you. Because he says, you're a light in the world. That's a big deal to me. It really needs to be a big deal to the believer. Okay. See, I proved some things. It takes boldness to do this, guys. It just takes it. It just takes boldness. I mean, you just got to put yourself out there on the word. If you're going to, you got to be like Peter on that water, okay? Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat of fear. Get out of the boat of worry and what they're going to say or what they're going to think. And just do it. Stand on the word of God. The word cannot fail you. God and his word are equal. They cannot fail. But you're going to have to prove it. And you know how many times I failed before I proved it? How many times did I stumble? How many times did I cry? How many times did I try to get back up? Stand on that word. I never quit. Word. Just because it doesn't work for me doesn't mean the word doesn't work. Because then you're basing the word on you. The word isn't based on me and my performance. The word is based on God Almighty. The backings of heaven back up his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away, ever. So you can't say, I tried it and it didn't work, so therefore it doesn't work. You're making yourself bigger than God. Do you all see that? That's what people do. They already say, well, it ain't going to work because it didn't work for him. Or it didn't work for this one. And this one died. And this one. Excuse me. I don't know about all that. But I know what I'm believing. He cannot fail. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to fail. That's where your faith is? No wonder it failed. If that's where your faith is, no wonder it didn't work. We've got to move into the realm that Jesus walked in. We've got to move into the open heaven realm. He walked with the glory. He walked with the Holy Spirit abiding upon him and in him. He found the place. The Holy Spirit found a place that he could rest. And he found a place to rest. See, this is the thing. Jesus wants us to be a place. The body of Christ is going to be a place where the Holy Spirit feels comfortable in everything we say and everything we do. We are ambassadors for Christ in a dark world. But the ambassador helper is in us, resting upon us. You know, it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit in you, but to having him upon you. He gets offended. He's a very sensitive being. He will fly away. He'll go. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, he says. John 14 said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? You know, if you really want to get strong with somebody, just name their name. Sometimes you say Philip here. He says it several times. He that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then show us the Father? And verse 10, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? Remember the witness? And he says, the words that I speak unto you. Now he's gone from just looking at me, I'm the Father. Now he's talking about words that he speaks. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. How come he didn't say, he says the words? How come he didn't say, the Father that dwells in me, he says the words? Because he's talking about words, isn't he? He says, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. He's in total agreement with God. He knows the will of God 100%. He knows he's got heaven backing him 100%. He knows the Father's will on the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he taught the disciples to pray. So he was walking in the will of the Father in anything he ever did, anything he ever said. And look what the words did. The words produced something. They produced works. Because he didn't say the Father doeth the words or speaketh the words. The Father does the works. So that tells me how powerful the words of God are when you speak them. That's a revelation right there. You need to catch that. You need to take hold of that. Look at that. Get that paper and look at that. Look at that verse. Meditate on that. Take that like a big old knife, taking a big old chunk of steak off, and put that in your mouth and chew on that a while. Let that get inside you, just like a big old piece of steak will get inside your body. It'll nourish your body. This will nourish your spirit, man. Did you know that meditation is a chewing process of the Word of God? That's how you chew the word. You meditate, think about it, talk about it, turn it inside out, backwards and forwards. What are you saying here? I spend a lot of time meditating on the word. And I don't really spend hours and hours of reading the word, but I spend hours meditating on the word because I know that's the chewing process that gets it inside my spirit. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is basically what he's saying. And I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. I don't know if anybody else is that word also just kind of really. What's the thing you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, Jesus came and gave his life. We have come and give our life. We glorify the fact that he laid down his life when we lay down our life. Only a surrendered life can know this. Only someone whose life is really given up to him and his will can know this. It's got to be a surrendered life. So whatever the Father wants. John 6, the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus speaks, we speak. We speak, the word speaks life to us. We speak life out to others. John 14, 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I just have to say one thing before I close on this. I learned several years back how to access this kind of peace. It's his peace. How to get into the kingdom kind of peace. Because you have to do it. You have to do this. It's something you practice doing. You get good at it. Especially if crazy stuff's going on. You step into a supernatural zone of peace. It's amazing. I mean, I'm telling you, it's there. I've lived it. I know it's there. And I know how to get a hold of it. I've laid hands on people that are in trouble and tormented and I give you peace. And the peace would cover them and they calm right down. It's amazing. That's because I know peace. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't know. You can't even share what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know either till you know it. Somebody tells you about it. Last verse, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Did he give us a little bitty bit of power? Let me tell you something. You're not going to walk in this kind of power watching Chiller or watching Damien or watching all these horror movies, because all those movies do is glorify the devil and make him look big and powerful. How is that going to help you have any power over him? It isn't. Put in your psyche, in your emotions, and in your soul realm, all fear-based. So you need to stay away from that stuff. If you want to walk in the power of God, you've got to meditate on the Word of God, because that's where His power is. I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's time. It's just time for the church to rise up and be the church, and not just be a good person. There's lots of good people. But they don't know anything about power. They don't know anything about kingdom life. And I'm not knocking it because they just don't know. I'm not being critical other than they need to know. And the only way they're going to know is if they see somebody else who does know. Father, I seal this word right now. I seal this word. I close with this message. I close this message with this, Father. That I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. You developed us. You're bringing us into greater revelation. And I thank you, Father, that the mandate has been given 2,000 years ago. There is a mandate on each every life and a commissioned work guided. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to enable every one of us to step into our work, our labor, for you, for it's into eternity that we step. It's into eternity that we walk every day. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, I release this word to them. And I say it will not return void, but it'll accomplish what you sent it to do today. It will stick. I say it's going to stick. And devil, you ain't stealing it. In Jesus' name, amen.